I'd like to welcome you to our contemporary service this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we're happy to have you here. We'd like to get to know you a little better. So if you could fill out one of the community cards in the pew rack in front of you and place it in the box as you leave just outside the doors, we'd appreciate that. And also, we have a gift for you in the Connect Center. So make sure you stop there and pick that up if you would. This announcement pertains to Sunday school particularly. Beginning next Sunday, to give our teachers a time to refresh and prepare for the fall, there will be no Sunday school or adult Bible study classes for all ages for the month of August through September 5th. However, nursery, toddlers, and children's church will still be available for August during the 11 o'clock worship service. All classes will resume on Sunday, September the 12th. And today is the fourth Sunday of the month. That means it's a missions moment Sunday. And in your bulletin, you should have found an insert like that, which features a missionary family and a single missionary. And so let's take a moment and just take a look at these dear people. He's faithful servants of the Lord. First of all, Ryan and Gretchen Rott, serving in Costa Rica and Central America. They have been here to speak many times. So many of you are familiar with them, and you know about their ministry with Tactica, which stands for Teaching Authorities Christian Truths in Central America. So the mission of Tactica Ministries is to fulfill the Great Commission by investing in the lives of Central American authorities and their families through high-quality police training, evangelism, and discipleship. There's more there about their vision, which has four main points. And notice also that they host short-term teams from the U.S., and some of our church people have been involved in that, been down there, some more than once, to train in that ministry and to do discipleship work among the police officers, firefighters, EMTs, and search and rescue teams. So currently, the Rotts are still on their summer furlough. They're making plans for the fall ministry, so they'd like us to remember them in prayer as they make those plans, and also remember their daughters, Adri and Miranda, who are both students at Liberty University. Pray for them in their studies and continued growth in their walk with the Lord. So please read the rest of that and remember to pray for them throughout this month. And, well, the month of August, I should say. And then we're especially blessed today to have Autumn Smith, the newest, to join our missionary family. So Autumn, if you'd like to come up here, we'd like to ask you some questions and learn a bit more about what you're going to be doing as a missionary. So I just have some questions here for Autumn. First, would you tell us how the Lord has been preparing you to serve as a missionary?
Yeah, so the Lord, I think, has started that journey actually here in this church. So I grew up going to this church until I was in middle school when my family moved across the state. But Oakwood supported a missionary named Barb Tooley, who worked with missionary kids in Ecuador. And through her and her story, I think God opened up my eyes to the possibility of teaching MKs as ministry as a missionary. And so God grew those seeds in my heart and then opened up the door for me to go to a Christian college in Indiana, Grace College, where I studied education. And then at the end, they actually let me do my student teaching internationally. So I did student teaching at a school in Albania for missionary kids. And I think there God really confirmed that call. But then came back to the States and got 6 years of teaching experience because, as any teacher will tell you, you have no idea what you're doing in your first few years of teaching. And so it helped me get that experience, which is preparing me for what I'm going to do next.
Okay, thank you. So what are your plans for leaving for the mission field?
Yeah, God has miraculously provided 100% of my monthly and one-time support, actually in 5 months, which is totally really cool God story. And so I've been cleared to leave. So I'll be flying out August 11th. And then the school that I will be teaching at, new teacher orientation starts August 15th. So I'll get there right in time for orientation.
Wonderful, wonderful. So would you tell us about your ministry, what you'll be involved in there in Albania?
Yeah, so I will be teaching at GDQ International Christian School, which is a school specifically for missionary kids and other international kids in Tirana, Albania, which is the capital city. So I will be teaching middle school, EAL, so helping those students whose parents are missionaries, but they're from a different country. So from South Korea or from the Netherlands or different places, helping them gain the English to be successful then at GDQ, which is a school that's completely in English. So, and then I'll also be serving with Christar, that's my ascending organization. So hopefully I'll be involved in the team there and hopefully in the next few years get involved with some of their ministries as well.
And what does EAL stand for?
Yeah, EAL stands for English as an Academic Language. So you may know that as ESL, or sometimes we refer to it in the States as English Language Learners, but students whose first language is not English. So just giving them extra support in the English language so that they can be successful in an English-speaking school.
Okay. I know what it's like to be a missionary kid in a school like that. So. So finally, how can we communicate with you, Adam, and pray for you?
Yeah, so everything that I'm going to reference has to do with a table out by the Connection Center, so everything will be out there. There's a few ways you can connect with me. First of all, you can get my prayer card, and on the back it has my email address, so you can connect with me that way. It also has my stateside phone number, but that will discontinue after August 11th. And then, so you can get my prayer card and just pray for me as you think of me. You can also sign up to get my email updates. So I'll send out monthly email updates with prayer requests and just updates on the ministry. So there's a just white piece of paper where you can sign up for that. And then also Christar really values prayer so much that they require us to have people who commit to pray for us daily. So we call them daily prayer partners. That's just someone who will pray every day for me and the ministry and my students. And if you would like to be a daily prayer partner, you can fill out, there's little yellow cards, and that's just a little extra level of commitment. So you can fill out one of those yellow cards. And then just praying now, you can pray for grace in these next 2.5 weeks as I pack and prepare and say goodbye, pray for my family as I say goodbye to them, and just the beginning of this next school year, praying for good connections with the students and students' hearts open to the gospel, because that's something that I didn't say. It is a Christian school, and so we get to minister to the missionary kids and be an extra voice in their life, telling them that Jesus is worth it, somebody other than their parents who are discipling them as well. So pray for those kids that their hearts would be open to that as well.
Okay, so you can meet Autumn as you leave today after the service. She'll be by the table with the bright red Albanian flags draped over it. We hope you'll sign up for those prayer emails that she'll be sending out to us, and that you'll take one of those prayer cards as well. And we're happy to have Gail, her mother, with us as well today. Welcome, Gail. And Gail's husband happens to be the pastor at Green Lake Calvary, and so he's preaching there today. But we're glad that you both could be here, and thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been sweet to be here where the Lord started my walk with him, and so to be able to be here sharing with all of you has been a blessing.
All right, thank you so much. And let's bow for prayer for our missionaries, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment where we can pause to focus on your servants who are taking the good news and helping those that are taking the good news. working with their children and all, Lord. What an important ministry that is. And I pray for Autumn in the next just a couple weeks that she'll be taking this big step and going overseas to minister there. Just be with her in her preparation and saying her goodbyes and all. May you give her strength and peace and your joy and your guidance each step of the way, and richly bless that ministry over there in Albania at that school. We also pray for the Rots as they continue serving you through Tactica Ministries, and as they are planning for the upcoming ministry this fall, give them guidance in that, open doors, and the workers that will be needed to help in that ministry. So bless their family, bless their girls as they're at Liberty University, help them in their walk with the Lord as well. So we thank you for the part we can have in praying and supporting financially these your servants. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Autumn. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16. As we continue our survey through the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, we'll be starting in verse 16 for our reading. And Autumn, we're very excited for you as you make your way overseas. About 10 years ago, Kathy and I and our girls took off for Budapest, and we were very thankful for the International Christian School that was there for our girls. So we know exactly what you're doing, and our prayers go with you in that. But we're in Acts chapter 16, verse 16. And our author Luke continues following the chronicles of Paul and Silas in their adventures in church planting and ministry. In verse 16, here's what we read. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. When they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." And the crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. And having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police saying, "Let those men go." The jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, they have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No. Let them come themselves and take us out. The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia. When they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. May the Lord add his blessing at the hearing and the reading of his word this morning. Have you ever been caught off guard? Completely surprised by something you didn't expect? Years ago, I was a first-year teacher at East Peoria Community High School down in Illinois. And I was in the middle of my first hour class teaching when there was a knock on the door. And I looked over and I saw it was the wrestling coach. And I was like, why is the wrestling coach at my door? And so I went over to chat with him to find out what he wanted. And he explained to me that he got the notice about one of my students, that the student was receiving a failing grade. And that now his wrestler on the wrestling team, who's receiving the failing grade, was not going to be able to wrestle for the season because he was now ineligible. And he asked me, is there anything I can do? I said, well, I'm not sure what you mean. Well, can't you make an exception here? And can't you adjust his grade in some way so that he can wrestle? And I said, well, other students did the work and got good grades. He didn't do the work, is not getting a good grade. So there's not much I can do here. I can't just change the grade. He goes, what do you mean you can't change the grade? I said, I can't just make an exception for your wrestler here just to help him out. That's not fair to everybody else. As you can imagine, he was a little annoyed with me and just kind of stomped off. Hour goes by. I'm in the middle now teaching my second hour class, and there's another knock on the door. This time, it's the athletic director. And he calls me out in the hallway, and now I'm talking to the athletic director. And he's saying to me, hey, you know, I heard about the situation with this student not passing your class. And, you know, isn't there something you could do to help the situation? You know, wrestling is this kid's life. You know, you got to do what you can. And it just so happened this guy, his name was Rick. Rick was a family friend of mine. He knew my uncle. And so I kind of knew Rick. And I said, well, Rick, he's not passing, so I can't just change his grade. I can't just make an exception. It's not fair to all the other students who did the work. And then he said this, Brad, as a personal favor to me, would you just change his grade? I said, Rick, I can't do that. That's not right. You ever been caught off guard? Being asked to do something you weren't intending to do or ever wanted to do? As Christ followers, we're going to find ourselves caught off guard from time to time with things, aren't we? We're called to make a difference in this world for the cause of the gospel, but as we seek to build God's kingdom, it's easy for us to be taken off guard through what people say about what we believe or how we should live. Perhaps we don't have a good answer when we're challenged about our faith, or someone says something hostile or negative about Christians and is upset at us for standing up for what is right. We can also be taken off guard through our circumstances when things aren't going very well in our lives as we strive to walk with God. Sometimes hopelessness, despair, and depression can sneak in and take us by surprise. But we need to be ready to trust God with every opportunity and in every circumstance. We never know when God may choose to use us to make all the difference. As we will see today in our study, we need to be ready to help release people from their bondage, ready to endure mistreatment for doing what's right, and ready to worship God even in the midst of hardship. As we entrust ourselves to His care, we need to be ready to see God move in amazing ways, ready to share the gospel, and ready to stand up for what is right. And as we stand ready in all these things, we will most certainly see God's hand on us. And He will use us to make a difference in the lives of those around us for His glory. Are you ready? Our message series is Spread the Word. The question today, are you ready? Well, let's take a look at a map and find out where we are today. Today we are in Philippi. You see that right up there where the star is. We've traveled all the way from Jerusalem to Antioch, up through modern-day Turkey, and now we're up here in Philippi. Now, if I'm not mistaken, our friend Autumn's going to be like right up in here. Is that right, Autumn? Yeah, she's going to be right there, not too far away from this area. It's in what's modern-day Greece at this time. But here's the deal. Paul and Silas have just recently arrived in the area of Philippi in what is now located in southeastern Greece, and already people are turning to Christ. But today in our study, a new demonic threat to the gospel presents itself. And Paul and Silas will end up in jail for it. Now, it just so happens I've been to Philippi, and I happen to have a rock from the jail. You're like, you stole a rock? Believe me, there's like a bazillion rocks. They'll never miss this one. It is really cool, man. It's awesome. You can check it out after the service. So I've been there. I've seen this place. This is an actual account. It's true. As we'll see today, as Christ followers, we need to be ready for anything and everything. Six spiritual principles that I have for you. But before we study, let's ask God's help. Would you please pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we need your help to study your word. Lord, we just ask that you would go before us in our study and open our hearts and our minds to hear your truth. Lord, give us ears to hear. Lord, change the things in our world, in our lives that need to change, that we might be conformed to the beautiful image of your Son. So, Lord, have your way in this service. Thank you for your presence here. Be our guide and be our teacher as we submit ourselves to you through hearing your word by the power of your Spirit. Lord, we pray all this in your Son's wonderful name this morning. Amen. If you have your sermon notes outlined, here's the first truth. Six, and these are going to go pretty quickly, so stay with it. Are you ready? First of all, are you ready to help release people from their bondage? That's what Paul and Silas were ready to do. Look what happened, verse 16. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. Notice, first of all, our pronoun. It said, "as we." The pronoun, the small entourage, including Paul, Silas, Timothy, and the very author of this text, Dr. Luke. So Luke is with, and he can speak in first person plural, "as we were going to this place of prayer." Notice the slave girl. Notice what she's afflicted with, the spirit of divination. She was bringing her owners much gain by fortune telling. I don't know about you, but I've always wanted to walk into one of those fortune teller places and go, "I'm here. You should have been expecting me. You should know my name." That probably won't happen, will it? Of course, modern day fortune tellers are charlatans who take advantage of naive and desperate people. The only fortune they expound, of course, is their own, at the expense of others, as they dole out information that people just want to hear anyway. In this case, in our account, it appears that there's something more sinister going on here with this slave girl. It says she had a spirit of divination. She appears to be demonically influenced and has acquired demonic abilities. She's crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." Now, at first glance, what's wrong with that? That's exactly what they're doing, right? This doesn't seem to be a problem. Nothing wrong here. But in verse 18, we read this, she kept doing for many days. Can you imagine every day this woman falling along behind saying these things? You see how this might become annoying. And after this had gone on for quite some time, Paul had finally had enough, and he becomes greatly annoyed, as the text says. And he finally turns and rebukes the demonic spirit taking advantage of this girl. And he said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. And here Paul is in great company, isn't he? He's in great company with Jesus, who also cast out demons from several individuals on several different occasions throughout the gospel accounts. With Paul's command, the demon left the woman, it says, that very hour. But understand, this woman was in bondage, not only spiritually, but she was being used by these opportunistic, money-hungry men for their own personal gain. But the power of the gospel has the power to free us from all of our oppression. Are you ready to help release people from their bondage? Sadly, I've seen men and women who've been overwhelmed with these kinds of things. But at the same time, I've also seen many men and women who've been freed from their bondage spiritually, emotionally, morally, physically. Years ago, I traveled to India. While serving there, the spiritual oppression was palpable. You could almost feel it. It was horrible. Several times during our trip, there would be people who were all of a sudden clearly under the influence of demonic outbursts, throwing fits and tantrums. And it was only after pastors and Bible teachers would come alongside these people and pray over them that finally find their right mind again. It was pretty crazy. Now, you go, well, I've never seen that kind of stuff around here. Well, what do we do with people who don't act normally in our culture? Two things. What do? We medicate them or we institutionalize them, right? That's what we do. Get them out of here. Over in India, it was so commonplace. I mean, right, if somebody went into a fit right now, we'd all go, oh, no, what's going on? Help them. Over in India, people have fits. Everybody just walk right by. Why? Just commonplace. Oh, there's another one. Didn't matter. It's just the way it was. Spiritual oppression. By the way, I've run into that a few times here throughout my years of ministry. Those who are clearly influenced by the demonic. But we have to remember that others are in bondage in other ways. In bondage perhaps to substance abuse, alcohol, marijuana, narcotics, pornography and lust, sex addicts, in bondage to greed and power, in bondage in their finances through debt, bondage to anger, hatred, and rage, or unforgiveness. Remember, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. If you can't stop, you keep doing the thing you know you shouldn't be doing, you are enslaved. And if you are a Christ person, if you're a Christian, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are so living beneath your means with what he's already done for you. You can find freedom turning from your sin and turning to faith in Christ, asking him for your provision for what you're longing for. You can be set free. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever, however. So if the son sets you free, what? You'll be free indeed. That's the deal. By God's grace, I've seen many people released from their bondage through Christ. As you share the gospel, you too can help people find their freedom as well as your own. Are you ready to help release people from their bondage? Secondly, are you ready to endure mistreatment for doing what's right? Notice what happens here in verse 19. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. You ever been dragged anywhere? Anywhere lately, have you? I mean like dragged, not like, you know, coerced. I'm talking about you're dragged. Not a good time. When they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in attacking them. The magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. And having received this order, he put them into the inner prison, and fastened their feet in the stocks, shackles on the legs. Notice what happens as these men who have lost their livelihood through the slave girl now turn on Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas were apprehended. They were seized and then dragged off. They were facing false accusations, as it was said that they're disturbing our city, advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. The real issue is that these men, these slave owners who seized Paul and Silas, have just lost their livelihood through the slave girl, and they were taking advantage of her. And of course, Paul and Silas were publicly abused and humiliated. They were attacked by these crowds who just a little moment before they were all cheering them on, but now they're attacking them. And their clothes, their garments have been ripped off of them. And don't miss this, they were beaten, inflicted many blows upon them, and then thrown into prison, fastened in the stocks. They weren't going anywhere anytime soon. It's so sad when people are abused for doing what's right and just. You've seen it, right? You've seen it. People doing the right thing, they get hassled for it, right? Well, you know how it was back in school, right? Who was the kid who got picked on? The kid who got the good grade, right? Oh, smarty pants, right? We abused people like that. Of course, now none of you, with how stellar your grades are, none of you got abused like that, did you? Huh? How'd it go? For you, of course, I got abused all the time for other reasons. Ready to endure mistreatment for doing what's right. Notice what Jesus says about this. Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely in my account. He says, rejoice and be glad. And we're like, really? Yeah. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus goes on to say in John 15, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. In other words, this is what we should expect to happen. If you're going to follow Christ, it's going to be difficult. People are going to get on your case, give you a hard time. Now, by the way, of course, this kind of persecution can only take place to the degree that you are truly living differently than the rest of the world as you suffer for righteousness' sake. If you're just blending in, who will ever know that you're any different or that you're following Christ? Years ago, when I was a business owner, I was a State Farm agent over in Wisconsin. I was at some training event with a bunch of other agents, and for the evening activity, a bunch of these agents said, hey, let's go bar hopping, and hey, we can go to this cool strip club. It'll be great. And I'm like, I'm not going to that. Oh, come on, Brad, you should go. I'm not going. No, come on. No, guys, I'm not going. If you're like going to go bowling or something, maybe I'd go bowling with you, but I'm not going to go bar hopping. I'm not going to go to the strip club. Not going. I'm out. They gave me a hard time, and off they went. Next morning, they're all groggy and all messed up, you know. They come in, and of course, they bring in a scorecard from a bowling alley with, you know, oh, you guys went bowling? I was like, great, thanks. And then they all started laughing at me. Why? Oh, we never went bowling. We just stopped by the bowling alley and got that chart. We filled all the scores in and just to give you a hard time. They mocked me. Ever been mocked for choosing to do the right thing? You know, I find it interesting, you know, all these guys, actually a woman went with them to the strip club. That's great. So not only am I being mocked, but of course, when they had trouble with their marriages, who did they call? I wasn't even a pastor yet. I'm being called, hey, things aren't going very well. Can you help me? I'm like, maybe don't go to the strip club. That's what I'm thinking. I'm going to start there. Are you ready to endure mistreatment for doing what's right? Thirdly, are you ready to worship God even in the midst of hardship? Don't miss this. This is huge. Look at verse 25. About midnight, they've already had a really crummy day, but now midnight, what happens? Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Are you hearing this? This is amazing. In the middle of the night, imagine the jailer. You know, what's that noise? Are they singing in there? They're praying and they're singing hymns. And now the whole cell block is hearing the gospel through the praise coming from Paul and Silas. Right in the middle of their difficulties, they're finding a moment to praise God. This is incredible. So reflecting on this last week, there's a song by Casting Crowns, "Praise You in the Storm." Listen to these words. "And I'll praise you in the storm, and I'll lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm." Have you ever been there? Sometimes there's nowhere to look but to look up when your heart has been ripped in two. I've been there. Have you? I've been there recently. Will you still worship him there in the midst of your storm? Of course, David was well acquainted with this in Psalm 27. The reality is we don't need to fear anything no matter what is going on. Listen to what David writes. It won't be on the screen, but just listen to these words. Let them soak in. Just worship for a moment as you hear these things. This is what David writes, Psalm 27. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I've asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." Are you hearing this? As you cry out to him, he's there. And we can stand confidently. We don't have to be afraid. Are you ready to worship in the midst of your hardship? This is what Paul writes in Romans 8. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Of course, Paul understood these things, right? He was the one who had been beaten up. He had been thrown in jail. "If God is for us, who can be against us?" He goes on to say in verse 37, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation," I could add, "or beating, or jail, or shackles, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is how confident Paul was. Are you ready to worship in the midst of your hardship? Fourthly, are you ready to see God move in amazing ways? Watch what happens now. Middle of a little worship session in verse 26, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, everybody's bonds were unfastened." This is amazing. You know, it's one thing I can understand with an earthquake that maybe, you know, all the doors are off their hinges and stuff like that, but something else is going on miraculously for all the shackles to fall off too, right? "When the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.' The jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas." It's right in the middle of this impromptu worship service that God moves in an amazing way. A great earthquake. The prison is shaken. All the doors are open. Everyone's bonds were unfastened. They were all free to go, but nobody moved except the jailer, who panicked at the sight of all the prison doors being open. It was well known that under Roman law, if a jailer let anyone in their custody escape, they would be held responsible by becoming subject to the sentences that any of the escaped prisoners were under. And with that, the jailer chose rather to end his own life. But Paul intervenes, "Oh, do not harm yourself, for we're all here." And now, remarkably, the jailer's life was changed in an amazing way. In verse 29, the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Here was a jailer who's now in submission before Paul and Silas, kneeling before them. This is truly amazing. Are you ready to see God move in amazing ways? Are you ready to see him do amazing things? Psalm 37 says this, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Are you hearing that? Just trust him, walk in his ways. He will act. He will make the difference. He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Let him do it in his time and his way. By God's grace, Kathy and I have seen God move in amazing ways many, many times in our own lives. All we did was trust him. It's not like we're the sharpest knives in the drawer. We just trusted him and watched him do his thing. We waited on him and he made all the difference. He's so worthy of our trust. Are you ready to see God move in amazing ways? But fifthly, are you ready to share the gospel? Because it's in this moment they now have this incredible question. In verse 30 says, then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What a question. It's all teed up for them, right? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. What a response. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he believed in God. What an incredible question. What must I do to be saved? But don't miss the answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Do you believe? Have you put your faith and trust in him unto salvation? You and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. Notice how they didn't just share the gospel, but they shared the truth of God's word in its context to this desperate man. And by the way, how much of the New Testament did they have at their disposal to share? None of it hadn't been written yet. So they're using the whole Old Testament to proclaim Christ. And it was sufficient unto salvation. But then notice the incredible change that took place within this jailer. He's now demonstrating incredible compassion. Did you see that in verse 33? He took them the same hour of the night and he washed their wounds. This is the jailer who's now washing these guys. Talk about humility, submission. But not only that, he demonstrated obedience through being baptized. He was baptized at once, he says. And of course, he's also leading his family spiritually as he has his family baptized with him. He's also offering incredible hospitality. In verse 34, he brought them up into his own house and set food before them. He's now feeding these people. Notice how he worshiped God. Verse 34, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. In a word, beloved, as we saw with Lydia last week, this man's life had been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit that now dwelt within him through faith. Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Are you ready to preach the gospel? What's the gospel? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There it is. We have these packages throughout scripture, these little nuggets. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. The gospel. Are you ready to share it? And all because Paul and Silas were ready to share, what must I do to be saved? Are you ready to answer that question for people? Believe in the Lord Jesus. Lastly, are you ready to stand up for what is right? Don't miss this last little caveat here. But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police saying, let those men go. And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, well, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace. But Paul said to them, They've beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who were Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No way. Let them come themselves and take us out. And the police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid. Why? When they heard that they were Roman citizens. Uh-oh. So they came and apologized to them. What? These same guys who had hauled them off and beaten them are now saying, hey, we're really sorry we beat you up there. Sorry. Can you just leave now? At this point, Paul plays his Roman citizenship card. Basically says, not so fast, guys. You guys can't just sweep this under the rug. These city leaders had actually broken the law. They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and thrown us into prison. Do they now throw us out secretly? No way. Let them come themselves and take us out. And of course, when the local magistrates hear that, you've beaten Roman citizens without a trial, they become fearful of what they've done to Paul and Silas. So they came and they apologized. Incredible. In standing up for what is right, justice is finally served. And in doing so, the church in Philippi was further legitimized and strengthened. And after this, in verse 40, Paul and Silas find themselves in the gracious hands of Lydia, who would have lovingly tended to them, as we saw last week. We find how this particular church, the church in Philippi, becomes a special church in the heart of Paul as he writes a singular letter to that church. You see his affection, his love for this body of believers in no uncertain terms. Are you ready to stand up for what is right, no matter what? So I had stood up to the athletic director and said, I'm not changing this guy's grade. I'm sorry, I'm not gonna do it. I don't care what you think about it, I'm not doing it, it's not right. Later in the day, I was scheduled to stay after school and be at an evening event for a sporting activity I was overseeing. And I called Kathy to check in with her to see how she was doing. And she said, hey, did Rick get a hold of you? He called me and was looking for you. I'm like, well, I wonder what he wants. Probably wants to give me some more hassle. And Kathy had told him that I was supposed to be at that event. So Rick actually went back to the school and he found me at this event, this sporting activity. And he pulled me aside in the hallway. He goes, hey, I need to talk to you, Brad. I'm like, well, what now? He goes, I need to apologize to you. I had no right to push you to change that grade this morning, and I'm really sorry. That won't happen again. You did the right thing. I'm like, well, okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. In that case, there was vindication, right? But I know some of you have, you stood up for what's right and you never did see the vindication, did you? Doesn't always come the way we'd like it to. But understand, we don't do what's right to get what we want, to get the vindication. We do what's right because that's the right thing to do, right? That's what God's called us to do. And that's what we should be about more than anything, as we entrust ourselves to Him in no uncertain terms. Beloved, we need to be ready to trust God with every opportunity and in every circumstance. Are you ready? We never know when God may choose to use us to make all the difference. We need to be ready to help release people from their bondage, ready to endure mistreatment for doing what's right, and ready to worship God, even in the midst of hardship. As we entrust ourselves to His care, we need to be ready to see God move in amazing ways, ready to share the gospel, and ready to stand up for what is right. And as we stand ready in all these things, we will most certainly see God's hand on us. And He will use us in amazing ways to make a difference in the lives of those around us for His glory. Are you ready? Would you please stand as we close our service? Our gracious Heavenly Father, oh, we want to be ready. Lord, we want to be ready for whatever You have for us. Lord, may we be ready as people to help people who are oppressed with sin and rebellion, to come alongside them and love them right where they are and to care for them, that they might find freedom through the gospel. Lord, we need Your help to stand ready to suffer abuse for doing what's right. Lord, we need to be ready to worship no matter what's going on, even in the midst of the storm, and ready to share the gospel, ready to endure mistreatment as we stand up for truth and for righteousness. So, Lord, as we turn to you, we ask for your care, your watch care in this, as we seek to touch hearts and lives with walking with you for your purposes. But Lord, if there's someone here this morning who has not believed, Lord, it's my prayer that they would do so. What must they do to be saved? Believe. They turn their hearts to you and they believe on you once and for all for salvation, knowing full well that you've paid our debt once and for all, paying for all of our sin that we might truly be free. Lord, if there's someone here that's facing oppression because of a sin issue they can't get away from, Lord, I pray that you would grant them freedom, they'd turn to you and they'd walk in righteousness, and they would be able to say confidently, I used to do those things, I don't do that anymore, I'm done. Oh God, grant them freedom. The shackles fall off. May they be released by your power. Lord, thank you for this time we could be in your word. Thank you for all that you are to us. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, help us not to live beneath our means in the freedom that you have for us as we share the gospel with those around us who desperately need to hear it, along with ourselves. So, Lord, thank you. We give this service, this information, all that we studied to you. And Lord, we ask that you would burn these things into our hearts and our minds that we might not just hear them, but walk in them for your purposes unto your glory. We pray all this in your Son's wonderful and awesome name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, if you want to see my rock, I'll be by the door.